welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 54 on July 12th, 2013. Changing the world one ass at a time. I hope you're all well and hopefully not too impatient while waiting for this latest podcast. I am finally getting to it. So let's start off with a letter. My wife and I use a girl shorts strap-on harness with a Doc Johnson 7-inch silicone flare-based dildo. She and I have been pegging for about a year and a half now, but it has slowed down for us recently because she's still adjusting to the idea, and also, the harness is uncomfortable. She wants something that doesn't feel like the dildo is jabbing her when she thrusts into me, and even when I'm on top. We're trying to figure out what would work best. This harness places the dildo pretty high above her vagina. Does that maybe account for why it is hurting her? Or is it worn right and just has the lack of cushion between her and the dildo is the heart of the issue? It seems like the answer to the last question is a little obvious. Any suggestions on a comfortable harness for her? I'm also looking for ways to get her pleasure out of pegging. I've brought up placing a vibe into the base of the dildo since it's a vacu-lock, although we don't use it as one, but she's not into the whole vibrator thing or even a feel-do. This is a tough one. Maybe getting rid of the jabbing feeling from the dildo with a better harness, or maybe a new dildo, could help her associate it with enjoyment instead of labor and bruising caused by the force of the dildo being thrust in and jabbing her back in the pelvis. Okay, yeah, not the best harness or the best dildo, actually. First of all, the harness just isn't made right in terms of placement of the hole. If you take a look at the placement of the one that you have and then the placement of, say, a spare parts harness, and you look at the positioning of the holes, you'll see what I mean, and your assessment is exactly correct. It's much too high, and it's just poorly designed. So what you're going to get is the base of the dildo pushing against her pubic bone. I would definitely recommend a different harness, specifically a spare parts harness. The Jacques is great. It's sort of like the ultimate in comfort, plus it's infinitely adjustable. But there are other harnesses are actually lovely as well and equally as comfortable. They have one called a tomboy harness, and that's like a pair of briefs. That's very comfortable. And the Sasha is equally as comfortable, and it's something really feminine and gorgeous if that's the way she leans. Now, okay, about the dildo that you have. I don't own a Vaculock. I avoided those because I thought they were real limited in terms of being able to switch harnesses and dildos. So I don't really know how it's constructed, but I am imagining that there is something inside the base of the dildo to lock it to the intended harness. And this something I am imagining would be rigid enough to hold it to the harness, so it would perhaps add to the bruising and discomfort that your girlfriend is experiencing. But even if that's not there, there's got to be something to attach it. But even if it's not there, I have used flare-based dildos without any inner core like I'm suspecting this one has for the attachment process. I've used flare-based dildos with the spare parts harness with a particularly energetic lover who loved to be fucked really hard. And even with the right placement of the dildo, I still got bruised a little bit just because of the force of the fucking. But I have to say that once I switched to a double-ended dildo, I didn't have that problem. The specific dildo you spoke of seems to have a thinner base when I researched it, so it's possible that you could get one that has a thicker base with more cushion, perhaps one that has balls. And let's see, I know you said she's not into the double-ended dildos, and hey, that's what I call them, is the doubles. I refuse to carry on the stupid harnessless, strapless descriptor because it's inaccurate and just plain wrong, so I call them doubles. Anyway, you mentioned she doesn't want a double or one with a vibe, but yeah, that is a tough one because those things can add quite a bit to the experience. I would want to know the answer to some questions. Does she enjoy G-spot stimulation? If so, I would really recommend trying out a double because she'll get it with the right one, and the Happy Valley Tango is definitely my favorite. And if she enjoys clit stimulation, if that's how she gets off, then the vibe placement in that particular double is better than the others. You can get stronger vibes with that dildo than the others, and it's the vibes are just located really well for clit stimulation. They're in the right place. If she does decide to try out the Tango, remember to replace that weak bullet vibe that it comes with a Wee Vibe bullet vibe. There are two models that fit. One is either called the Salsa, and coincidentally, the other one is called the Tango, which makes it pretty easy to remember. Those bullet vibes are the strongest bullet vibes available, and they have a bunch of lovely vibrational patterns to choose from. 8 of them, I think. And just basically another vote for the doubles is that with the bulb part inside of her, she actually can get tactile feedback when she's fucking you. So much more than a flare-based dildo. It just keeps, it feels better and closer and more intimate. But let's take a look at some of the other possibilities. Maybe she doesn't like the penetration of the vibe aspect like she mentioned, and she really doesn't want it. Some women are like that. Maybe she just wants to do you because you love it, but she's not really interested in trying to get pleasure out of the act. So I think what the end of your message was talking about, I also want to talk, hold some space for that, which is that if she does not want to try and make this an act that she's getting an orgasm out of, then the very best you can do for her is to still take steps to make her as comfortable as possible, and make it something that's not uncomfortable for her, absolutely, and then just enjoy yourself. But along with that, because that's not the end of the story, you need to be the best, most awesome GGG partner she could ever imagine. Rock her world and then some. Leave her breathless and amazed and very willing to do what you like because you have taken such good care of her desires. So that is pretty much all I have to say about that. But let us know how it goes and what you guys end up with. I'm curious to know how this turns out. Okay, here is a Reddit posting that I wanted to share with you guys. It just warmed my heart. The title of the post is, "She was accepting of me wearing stockings and pantyhose." And here's the post. "I posted up under a different throwaway a while ago. For years, I struggled with wanting to wear stockings and pantyhose, but I was terrified to mention it to my wife. I am married for the second time. We aren't kids. And my first wife humiliated me when I brought it up years ago. I was so nervous, I actually wrote to Dan Savage about it, and he published my letter earlier this year. Well, yesterday, I took the plunge and told her the truth. Her reaction blew me away. She offered to go to the store and buy my stockings for me. She is buying me pantyhose to wear under my suit at a wedding we are attending later this week. Last night, she actually rolled the stockings onto me before we made love, and then, as we laid next to each other afterwards, she stroked my stocking-clad legs and feet for close to an hour. You all encouraged me to be honest, but it was not something I found easy to talk about. You were right, though. She couldn't possibly have been more loving, accepting, and supportive, and she doesn't even realize how fucking amazing she is." So I commented on this guy's post and said that I was doing the happy dance for him. And then I put "new level of intimacy unlocked," you know, like in a game. And he responded with this. He wrote, "That was the part that blew me away. I never realized how much it would ratchet up the intimacy. John Irving once said, 'We can only be truly loved if we are truly known.' I never knew how powerful that statement was before." Wow. Okay. I just wanted you all to hear that story because if there is one thing we here at Pegging Paradise need more of, it is stories of desires expressed, followed by good reactions from significant others. I mean, this is the stuff a lot of guys who listen to this podcast, the stuff their dreams are made of, at least the ones who have not yet walked down that road of revealing their desires to their partners yet. But at the same time, anybody who listens to this podcast, take the plunge. Ask for what you want, you know? That's why I wanted to read this. Okay, here's something else. We heard back from the woman in podcast number 50 who had asked about inexpensive glass toys and if there was any danger in those. And yes, there is, even though the ones that she was buying were marked borosilicate. Here's what she writes. "I got all 3 glass toys in from that site, and all 3 of them had damage to the glass. I was able to sand out one of the chips, but one of the toys is still unusable. Actually, I'm not sure if I want to use any of them, to be honest. But the fact that they chip and scratch so easily means they are not borosilicate. I'm currently trying to get my money back from the company. We'll see how it goes. Thanks for letting us know how things went, and I'm sorry to hear you received an inferior product. This would be a perfect example of how labels can say things that are not true. Why? Because sex toys are classified as novelty items, and that technically means they have no use. But of course, we know better, right? So let us know if you managed to get your money back, and I'd be curious to see the difference in price point between what you end up getting that is truly borosilicate and what you paid for those. I did see that they were quite inexpensive, and I can see why they'd be tempting. Okay, another letter. Hey Ruby, I wrote a while back when you were asking people to write in about men's bi desires and fantasies and how they were being dealt with. At the time I wrote, my wonderful girlfriend was recovering from a surgery, so most any sort of sex was just out of the question. We have since gotten back to it and are gradually getting back to our normal. We had a rocky start due to the exact nature of the surgery. She was scared to get back to it, and I was terrified motherless I would hurt her when we did. Gradually, we are calming down and slowly but surely getting back to our whorish selves. Regular fucking was such a challenge for us that I hadn't even brought up her strap-on in a while, thinking it best to just ease into things. Last weekend, though, I got a pleasant surprise. I showed up at her house, and coming straight from work, I was all sweaty and nasty. I poured a nice relaxing whiskey, and we propped up in bed, chatting about our respective days. After a bit, I excused myself for a well-needed shower. After cleaning my nasty self off and shaving my face, cock, and balls, as is my custom, I put on a pair of shorts and walked back into the bedroom to find her gone. Resuming the conversation I was having with my bourbon, I assumed she was outside smoking. To my great surprise, I looked over my shoulder to see her dressed in nothing but her stunning smile, a fishnet bodysuit, and her leather harness with her big, flesh-toned cock dangling obscenely from her waist. Fuck, she was just too fucking hot. It's crazy just how attractive she is under normal circumstances, but damn, she really raised the bar and my cock that night. I flat out told her on the spot how impossibly hot she was, and that at that moment she could talk me into utterly anything. She smiled and laid next to me as we kissed, and I played with her tits and caressed her perfect body and, of course, stroked her magnificent cock, while she rubbed my chest and pinched my nipples, lightly brushing my rock-hard cock occasionally. "So," she grinned, "you'll do anything for me right now?" I affirmed that indeed I would. She grinned, crawled up on my chest, and pointed her big cock at my face, a mischievous grin on her face. She knew full well I had long fantasized about sucking cock, and I'm pretty positive the idea intrigued her too. Still, I was a bit hesitant, so I made her ask. She smiled and asked me to suck her cock. I slowly took it into my mouth and could hear her moan her approval. I started sucking best as I could, soon taking it in as far as I could, very aware from her moans and comments under her breath. She was enjoying what she was watching. After a few minutes, she told me to roll over and get on all fours so she could properly fuck my ass. I eagerly rolled over and gasped when she rubbed the boy butter on my very horny asshole. Lubing up her sizable cock, she moved behind me, and I could have died happy right then when I felt her greasy cock up against my puckered ass. It took several tries because it had been months since my last ass-fucking, and her cock is on the larger side. But she is always gentle with me, and after a few minutes I felt that delicious feeling when she slid that big fucker into my ass to the hilt. No pain, just overwhelming pleasure. Slowly she started sawing in and out, and after a few minutes I begged for her to pound me hard. She obliged, and the pleasure was indescribable. Between her cock stretching my ass and working my prostate, and the feeling of her perfect hips slamming into my ass, I was pouring pre-cum all over the bed. It was perfection. After a time, I asked her to do me in the missionary position, which we had never done before. Putting a wedge pillow underneath my ass, I put my calves onto her shoulders, and she slowly sank back into my ass. Watching her fuck me and watching her watch me was soon too much for me. As my hand worked furiously over my cock, I came like a bull, my legs shaking and head spinning, rolling off me. She quickly unhooked her cock and pulled out her favorite vibrator, immediately coming twice while I watched, spent. Before her, I had a lot of experiences and partners, many of them quite talented, truth be told. But honestly, we have discovered a whole new plane of sex together. In the time since our latest strap attack, we have kind of come to the conclusion that maybe for my birthday, which is coming in a few months, we need to find me a real cock to practice on. Fuck, I love her. Stay tuned, I'll keep you posted. thanks for the checking back in with the update. Thank you so much. I am really glad you two managed to navigate your girlfriend's recovery from surgery, first of all, because sometimes when a woman has surgery, whatever kind it is, which obviously has something to do with her reproductive system, it is really difficult to resume a relaxed space with fucking, because before, usually, and after the surgery is associated with pain in that area. So it's hard to get back to relaxing and enjoying. So I'm really glad that you two eased into it and that you're able to get there again and then some. Her strap-on surprise sounded so exciting. I mean, you certainly have a GGG girlfriend there, especially with her nudging you into the bi-curious territory with the sucking of her cock and all. And I had to laugh a little bit when I read about her rolling over and getting herself off while you watched. I love doing that. Part of it is because, you know, fucking him is just so damn exciting that as soon as he comes, I want my vibe right there immediately, and I want to get off. And it's not like I'm leaving him out of the equation, really, because he was in the equation the whole time I was fucking him. You know, fucking him is what turns me on so much that I just have to get off after he comes. So yes, your girlfriend and I are alike in that way. And dude, your birthday. Yeah. I love how you two are taking things a step at a time, and that at this juncture you, quote, both came to the conclusion, end quote, that you needed to find a real cock to practice on. Man, oh man, please do let us know how your birthday goes. Wow. Okay, another letter, another person checking back in. I really enjoy how you guys check back in with me, because hearing continuing stories is not only fun for me, but it's fun for all the listeners. And it's great to know how you guys are doing and what happened, you know. And I love all the things that you send me. I really do. Okay, dear Ruby, I was proud and flattered that you read my letter on podcast 49. Just to remind you, as you must receive boatloads of mail, I am the expat in Berlin. Thank you also very much for the information about TPR, that's the thermoplastic resin. I do not always have time to listen to your podcast, so my response now is very delayed. Nonetheless, here it is. You described your good kisses as well as your take on the personalities of the men who kissed poorly, repressed, macho, secretive, etc. When I translated and wrote to my boyfriend what you had said, he answered the following. And not only do I admire his wisdom and eloquence, but I love him more than anything in the world. Good morning, my dearest. I just read your email and am amused. But in my opinion, Ruby is missing a couple of things. It takes two to kiss. A man can only kiss as good as his partner permits. And the most important things are trust and love. When both can ripen and develop, then the kisses will become better. So does perhaps the quality of the kisses reflect the status of the relationship more than the capability of the man. Our kisses are the best because we love each other, because we do it without thinking about it, because we accept and desire one another, because we're one. Ruby, I love it when you say, what a great answer. I thought you'd enjoy reading it. Tonight, I listened to podcast number 46 about bisexual men. It was very heartwarming and difficult. The fact is that my lover and I are married to different people. Thank you again for the wonderful job you are doing. I believe you when you say you're having the most fun you've ever had in your life. Yours with sincerest admiration and gratitude, Berlin. Berlin, I am having the most fun I have ever had in my life, and it is so nice to hear from you again. I did enjoy the response your lover gave to my descriptions of kissing. It really does take two. I suppose that I was judging the capability of the men I was kissing mostly because I rate my own capability quite high. So, in fact, I was surprised the other day at the end of a date with a man who is clearly quite brilliant. He really has quite an amazing mind, and he's an extraordinary conversationalist. So at the end of this date, he walks me to my car, and I wanted to kiss him, so I did. I mean, that's what I do, because that's the kind of woman I am, and if a man is scared off by me taking the initiative, then he clearly did not read the important parts of my dating profile. Anyway, I took him gently by the lapels of his jacket and kissed him. I leaned in and paused in that delicious space just before lips touch to increase the anticipation. And my point in telling you all this is that he was a surprisingly sensual kisser. Relaxed lips and lovely. Lovely kissing was all quite delicious, and there's that word again. But if I had to have guessed before I kissed him what his kiss would be like, if I had made a complete assumption and falling prey to a stereotype, I would actually have guessed that his kiss would not be very sensual. Partly because this guy is very much in his mind, and his mind is really quite something. And many times men who are that intelligent, pick your generality there, they can be sort of disconnected from their bodies a bit. Not so with this guy, not so with that kiss. So we will see each other again fairly soon, I think. And let's see, another part of your letter. Oh, goodness, yes, you mentioned that your lover and you are married to different people. Yeah, that one hit home. I feel for you both, and I feel for you both without judgment. Okay, listeners of my podcast and readers of my column, I have gone off a few times on people who were going off to, guys who go off to be with pros in order to get their pegging fix, and people who are seeing someone else to fulfill desires they were unable or unwilling to express to their partner, the various situations people find themselves in. I've been judgmental about that. And when I asked for input on my bisexual podcast, I suspended that judgment because I wanted to hear truth about what was going on in your lives. Well, judgment's never a pretty thing. And a couple of podcasts back, I read you listeners some very steamy emails between myself and a man who, turns out, is quite married. And I'm going to call him Zach. So, okay, all you listeners who I have given a hard time to in the past, perhaps this is the universe teaching me that there are no absolutes. And maybe that if I ever want to experience the other side of the fence, all I have to do is say something along the lines of, oh, I would never do that, because that's exactly what happened. And I found myself in precisely this position, and I have said that. So conclusions I have come to, thoughts I have gone through my mind, my responsibility is not to his wife. That's the first conclusion I came to. So I don't agree with the thinking that I should be concerned about her feelings. My responsibility, however, is to myself. So I am the one that has to live with my lack of integrity, which really sucks at times. But let me do, a feeble attempt at justification and explanation, and just talk to you guys about this for a little bit. And then you can feel free to judge me if you like. So you see, it's far more than just steamy emails. This man and I have a way of understanding each other seemingly without trying. Basically, we kind of see the deeper parts of each other, the parts that everyone else in our lives doesn't see. And it's so refreshing to be seen in a place where you crave understanding and support and maybe TLC. But it's a place inside you that you don't normally let people into, primarily because it's a place of wounding and it's fragile and scary to let someone into that place? Well, I didn't have to let Zach in. He just knew it was there. And vice versa. Same thing with me and him. And that's quite a hook to encounter someone who understands you to that extent without you revealing. So what am I getting from all this? Well, first of all, he's an awesome muse. That much is certain. He totally inspires my writing. He inspires my masturbation. He brings juiciness into my life regularly. But beyond that, I've come to the conclusion that the real lesson for me here is understanding more about my deep, tender parts. And not just understanding them, but realizing that I need to let them out so that I can get the support and the TLC and the understanding that I need. You know, I'm not a woman who shows my tender parts much. In Zach's words, I present online as a, quote, tough woman who can hold any man in the palm of her hand, end quote. I know this to be true. I let you guys see my tender side sometimes, but not this side. And there is indeed a side to me that needs a big, strong guy who can hold me in his arms and just tell me that everything's going to be okay. And the thing is if I never tell the men that I am with that she exists, this part of me, how can I then expect that they will magically intuit that she exists and what I need? 'Cause okay, Zach did, but he is one of two men in my entire life that saw that part of me and responded to it without me asking. Now, part of the reason he did that is because he has the exact same part, which is why we understand each other so well. But what would my life have been like if I had actually revealed to my partners that this part of me exists? What would it be like to actually reveal and ask and put it out there as a part of me? Because, you know, no one's perfect and we all know that. So it's not really a fear of that part of me being seen as a flaw. It's more a fear because that part is so tender and so vulnerable and so fragile. And so it's a fear more of how the guy I'm with will respond. And sure, you know, this isn't a part of me that I would reveal right off the bat. So it's like, you know, first few dates, it's like, hey, by the way, there's this really tender part of myself that I just need you to hold me sometimes, because that's like emotionally deep stuff. So you eventually get there when it feels like when it feels right in the relationship. But sometimes I don't get there. I really don't. And it's more of a fear of how the man will respond to that tender part. And yet, here's the truth, okay? If he rejects that part of me or responds badly in some way, he is rather definitively not the man for me, right? Here's an example. I remember going out with a guy. Yeah, I start off thinking, am I going to tell my listeners the truth about who this guy is? Yeah, he's actually the father of my child. I would never change that because she's an amazing being and she was certainly meant to come here and be with me. However, I clearly remember being so upset at one point that I was in tears. And this man looked over at me, saw my tears, and said, oh, for God's sake, what did I do now? Okay, so like anybody listening out there, any guys who have done anything even close to this, don't ever, ever do that again. I mean, I've gone through the whole how to respond the best to a woman's tears. Yeah, that would not be it. Yeah, so he wasn't the person for me for a long-term relationship. Apparently, he turned out to be the guy who was supposed to father my child, but he and I never had a long-term relationship. So that actually holds true in this, interestingly enough. So yeah, you reveal the tender, vulnerable parts. You do that scary revealing, and it will weed out the ones you're not supposed to be with, absolutely. What I'm seeing here, I'm seeing wisdom in what my friend Reed Mahalko says, and I will put his link on my Linkorama. He is an amazing, amazing relationship coach, role model, sexual role model. He teaches, he's phenomenal. Here's what Reed says. This is not his exact words, but this is the message. The scary places, like what we've been talking about, the scary places are the places it is the most important to reveal to your partner. Okay, I kind of clearly see that now. I get how that works because of this whole journey with Zach and what I'm understanding now. So yes, I am definitely learning things from this man, and vice versa. I have some erotic writings of his that I'm going to post for you guys soon. It's actually quite rare that I like writings that readers send me enough to share them. And please, anyone listening who perhaps has sent me a story that I haven't used, please do not take offense. I am really, really particular about the stories that I put up. And Zach's stories, perhaps it's because he speaks so powerfully to the part of me that craves an alpha guy who is also emotionally sensitive, because that's pretty much what he is. I think that would be my best match, but, you know, who knows, right? I'm still single, so obviously I have not gotten the formula yet right, or the formula right yet. But, yeah, Zach is exactly that, a man's man with emotional intelligence, and he is far from scared off by my exterior. The tough woman who can hold any guy in the palm of her hand. And he knows that I have that tender place inside me that needs healing and holding, which is wonderful. So again, I can't help wondering how my life would have been different if I had revealed this part of myself to my partners. And of course, as soon as I say that, I reject the idea, because let me tell you, I have not had the best chooser when it comes to men. And I've chosen men who are projects, and they need healing themselves. And, you know, I am a healer. That's pretty much who I am. That's my basic personality. So I was all involved in healing them, and I never revealed that I had a part of me that needed it too. I never showed that. But regardless, that left that wounded part ignored and uncared for. When if I had found the courage to reveal that vulnerable, tender side, I dare say that side of me would have been cared for and held a lot more in my life than it has up until now. So that's the lesson for me in all this. And I encourage all your listeners to think about this for a while. Vulnerability really is strength. I'm going to post those links to the Brené Brown TED Talks one more time because they are so important. And bringing it all the way back around to pegging, a man who allows the vulnerability of getting fucked is an amazing man indeed, a strong one, not a weak one. Okay, with that segment of Ruby psychoanalyzing herself for the edification of her listeners, I am going to sign off. Here is my suggestion for you all. Reveal your tender, fragile part to your partner, even if it is really, really scary. Like the guy with the stockings and the pantyhose at the beginning of the podcast, reveal the scary stuff. Okay. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Ryder. You can like me on Facebook, subscribe to my blog. My podcast is on iTunes, and I would love it if you could go there and write me a review and rate my podcast. Please send all your questions and stories and meanderings and follow-ups to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every page on my blog. Thank you for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.